Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
What's up, patrons? Welcome to the first episode of The Casting Perspective, a series I'm really excited about. I'm joined by my good friend Blake, who has been a casting professional for years and years and years and years. And we are going to be talking all about different elements of the Survivor casting process. Now, he's never worked on Survivor, so it's not like he knows those inside outs, but it is going to be about how are people getting cast on the show? What are casting people looking for? Certain elements like that. But then also this first episode, as the title suggests, is going to be talking about how did a bunch of quitters get past casting 45 seasons later. So it's going to be kind of tips about what are you looking for? What are you not looking for? Maybe it'll help you, and maybe it'll just give you a better sense of how people that make the show are making the show. Talking about JP from season 35. Blake, welcome. Thanks for being here. People already know you if they're $20 patrons, because the first episode of every season matters will have come out by the time that this airs. Right. But why don't you give a little bit of a background on yourself for the $10 patrons who didn't watch that YouTube video for some reason?
Or the blast from the past, like 7 years ago when I ran that online reality game that shocked the Survivor Specialist Nation, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody from there has gone on and played more and won some of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good for them. Yeah, I'm Blake. I've been doing casting since 2012. It's something where I really enjoy the creativity because I love reality TV, and I didn't want to do the idea of let me run around and grab you guys coffee. Let me get those sandwiches orders. I wanted to kind of affect reality as quickly as I could. And I really like the idea of I can watch an interview that you do with your casting producer for 30 minutes, and I can turn Phil into the biggest villain from everything he said, or every time he talked about his family, I can put that in and make him seem like a big old patsy of he's just a mama's boy. And that ability to work together with the team to build a show of this time it's grannies doing baking, and we make all those grannies seem as granny as possible and talk about their grandkids and what the true magic of sugar and flour can do to build their family over 20 years is something that, like, I really enjoy doing, of finding those people, putting them in positions where I can show the love I have for a random girl from random grandma. Let's stick with grandmas. Random grandma from Idaho now gets a platform. I hate saying platform, but now gets everyone falls in love with her the way that we figure out that they can fall in love with her.
Yeah. And so that's kind of what this is going to be all about. This series, we're going to be doing different topics throughout. We'll be talking about just Survivor players who got cast on the show. What was the reason that such and such player got cast, or what do you think the purpose was? We're going to kind of just be looking at it from that point of view, because I think there's some players, especially like you go all the way back to Survivor Marquesas when Zoe ended up having 6 confessionals or whatever it was, and she goes very deep in that season. And you sit there and say, how did Zoe, of all people, get cast on the show? What were they looking for? That's not a question we're going to answer now, but perhaps we'll answer that in the future. The big one, the pressing one that is on everybody's mind coming out of season 45 is what happened at the beginning of this season. Now, we've had quitters before. We had Austin way back in Pearl Islands. We had Kelly and we had Nyanka. We had all of that happen. But to get to season 45 and have a person quit in the premiere on a shortened season where, you know, everybody in the old era will tell you it's not as hard now, even though, you know, who really knows. And then to have Sean quit just a couple episodes later, people were pissed. A lot of people who listen to our podcast, they want to be on Survivor. They want to play this game. They would do anything to play this game. And to see one person from each gender quit at the beginning of the show put a really bad taste in a lot of people's mouths, especially just about this season overall. So I think a big question that people want to know is just, how are quitters getting through 45 seasons later? And as a casting professional who's been doing it for 12 years, you know, essentially, what are you looking for when you're casting shows to make sure that these people are actually going to want to stay on whatever TV show you're putting them on.
And that's not even counting Brandon. So
yeah. Well, Brandon didn't quit. Come on. Brandon didn't quit. Oh my gosh. Blake has strong opinions about Brandon and cast.
It is interesting seeing those people. And like, I think one thing that you need to avoid is kind of falling into the vortex of what is truth and what is lie, of or true or false, if we want to say a more smarter term to say that. But it's like your person that you're interviewing and editing wants to be on the show no matter what. And some of these people will do whatever you want them to do or say. And that's something where some people could see that as great. I wanted to go get fish after this. I'm going to go to that fish fry that everybody's been talking about. I'm trying to get my job done in an hour. Some other casting professionals would probably be like, I honestly don't really believe you when you say this. I don't want to pick any one of those three people as a specific person, so we'll talk about them as a collective. But one of them probably said, I'll do whatever it takes to win this show. I've been watching it for 20 years, and this is the most important thing in my life. And it's like, well, we're going to need some actual examples of you doing that. Because if you don't tell me the time, and that's maybe where we're seeing some of these new age casting things where it's like, I had to relearn how to walk 3 times because of my knee surgery. And then I got, it's like cancer or something. And it's like, it seems crazy to the normal people watching of, I don't have those stories. But those are things where you persevered and stuck into it for 5 months of every day waking up and trying to make your life better one by one. I believe that person won't quit Survivor. If you're saying all of that, I will do anything for Survivor. It's my favorite thing ever. What's an example? And you don't have an example that's kind of drastic. It'll be like, well, in the gym, I don't get beat by anybody. And it's like, well, I'm going to need to see the picture of the leaderboards at your CrossFit gym where it does say I did 50 pounds more than everyone else. And now I start to believe that. If you're saying all that and you're not even the strongest person in your CrossFit gym, you're not even the best person at your Friars Club, you don't have an award from your church that says you're the church person of the year, you're a volunteer grandma, but nobody knows who your name is from, there's not an article about you. It does seem to be like, yes, you are the funniest person in your friend group, but your friend group could be a bunch of finance bros. And taking, yes, funniness is not quitter stuff, but if you want to, I can show you the human spirit that won't die. Godzilla Minus One, great movie. Human spirit won't die. I need it to be prove it to me in what you're sending us and what you're saying. And sometimes that does fall through the cracks because they say it with such conviction. Maybe they're coached. Maybe they are, I've seen this from other videos. I do know how to get on this show because I've paid attention to other videos that people have put out. I've watched every tip thing, just like you're watching this one. But if you have the thing that sets you apart of, I am the lead performer at CrossFit NorCal, it's going to be like, holy crap, that's going to be a boon for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and especially with season 45, with the premiere episode, I mean, when Hannah quit at the end, Hannah received a whole bunch of crap for it, and I think a lot of it was rightfully deserved. I mean, people calling her job to say, oh, you should fire her, she's a terrible person, people sending death threats, that is way crossing the line. That is beyond it. But in terms of people in the Survivor community being pissed off that she quit, look, it saved Emily, and Emily got to go deeper in the game. I loved Emily. I'm happy we got more of Emily. But Hannah wasted not just the viewers' time. She wasted everybody in that casting process's time. She had no respect for anybody's time that went into actually getting her on the show. And so right. I think there's a reason for people to be pissed off about that. And I think what a lot of people didn't understand is it's been happening. So this show has been on for so long that how can we get somebody who, when Hannah says it's not for her, that's fine. She can feel that way. But how did casting put somebody on the show who didn't realize this wasn't for her until she was sitting on the beach without her cigarette and without her blanket and without all of that? Like, how does that happen 45 seasons in?
And I think for her, I'm I haven't seen it. I'll bet $1 million that I don't have that in her casting tape, she probably casting that got sent to execs. That's how this stuff works. Probably said, if you don't think I'm mentally tough, I work on mental toughness with all of my patients. I tell them how to get through all their problems. I'm going to be able to use my expertise as a therapist to not only talk with my opponents that are going to be with me on my tribe to get them manipulated to what I want. I'm going to be able to hype myself up through everything that will be thrown my way. And that's a wonderful selling point. And people will go, holy crap, this is more than meets the eye from this blonde girl who's a little bit shorter. Like, she's going to be a force to be reckoned with. And sometimes that pays off of, I would hate for us to get to where we just don't believe anybody. And then people like Courtney never get on China and we don't get that wonderful whole life that she has inspired whole generations of people like her to be better people. I believe I love Courtney. So I wouldn't want to go, we don't trust anything that small blonde girls say when it comes to fighting adversity. But for her, there is a part in a grid where someone goes, are you a smoker or a non-smoker? And if you're checking the box of you're a smoker, I do think there's a little bit of nuance of like, what's the plan? Are you going to gradually wean yourself off? This is another thing where I hate saying this, but like Jackson goes home because he lied about his health stuff. And that's a box that needs to be checked and make sure of like, hey, what's this lithium doing? And yes, he did not say that, but that is something of we have all of these years and years of learning from mistakes, learning from this can't happen, where maybe both of those are, there's doctors that medically check these people and check them off and say, you're good to go. But if you lie to them, there's also, okay, well, we can't have this in your background check. Mm-hmm. And what I'm getting at with the smoking thing is, was it said to Hannah like, hey, this is harder than you think of quitting cold turkey? Yes, we have a famous person that it happened to on Exile Island that everyone jokes about. But do you want to be crazy or do you want to be able to handle it or whatever? And I think it's probably, I think when you get on a beach and 3 days later, you're like, I can't do this. Something went wrong because people have had 3 bad days in Survivor 1,000 times a season. And I think that's something where maybe the idea of we're going from 39 to 26 is opening the door for a couple people to kind of lie to themselves and be like, oh, I can do 26 days. It looks pretty easy. Like, we win a challenge every 3 days. We're going to get more rice. We're going to get a fish. We're going to get a chicken. And it's like, if you're on a team that loses every single time, like, there's not a lot of people that can be Stephanie from Yulong. Mm-hmm. And get through all that. And I think that's why she was such a America's sweetheart. And holy crap, like, she has been beaten down for 2 weeks and is still smiling. But we're talking about Hannah. And so Hannah being like, I'm done 2 days in because my tummy hurts. It's just something where you're like, maybe there's another layer of, hey, what's the worst thing that could happen to you? And I'm going to tell you as a producer, it's going to be 2 times worse than that. Mm-hmm. And watching their face when they go, ooh, I don't know about that. Because sometimes it's funny when somebody loses this bad. And I think obviously the story producers are probably being like, can we do anything besides say the word quit? Like, let's just, you're going to get voted off. Just like, I think it's funny of like, Emily came a long way, but they hated her so much in the first 2 days that they were like, okay, we're going to keep her over somebody who doesn't want to be here at all. It's like, Hannah, let's get you voted off some other way of like, but they were like, Hannah had great communication skills and she's fun to be around. But like, that's a show where it's like, go be in a house.
Yeah.
Go get on the circle for Netflix. Go try to be on Big Brother. That's a more controlled environment. You can even smoke on Big Brother. Why are you trying to do Survivor? And I think it's just, that's what we're trying to do when we're interviewing and doing that long process of 5 or 6 months. And so when people fall through the cracks, it is something of, there was so many fail safes for this. And it is just mind over matter. And some people don't have it at the end. And that's why I think it's so infrequent. And I think Sean this time around was like, Sean just got Yulongs of if he is on Bello if he's a Reba 4 member instead of Austin the entire time, and it's Drew, Sean, D, and Julie to the end, he's probably still in the game at Final Six because, oh, it was really fun. My team crushed everyone instead of I was getting beaten down at every time. I barely made it through. I got blindsided twice. It wasn't fun. And now I'm on an unbeatable, like, I'm with four people that have been together the whole time. Like, why would I even try? Like, it sucks because that happens to two or three people. And someone like Caleb is going to do his dead level best of like, let's get me an idol. Let's do a shot in the dark. Let's try this. And you can't really tell the difference between Caleb and Sean because they both have different stories of what got them on the show. And it's just the believability of them mixed with like their actual constitution. It is something where it's like, how does this happen? Because half the time, everything I'm saying for casting makes sense. And the other half, it's spaghetti against the wall.
Yeah.
And you're not really able to, I know this person, like we know our five stars in the cast that we're gonna be on the show no matter what and nail it. I think that's why Bruce comes back immediately after another season, because he was one of their A+ all-stars of, we need a whole season of this dude. I don't care what you got to do. Convince him to come back. Doesn't take much convincing to have someone play him for $1 million. But of these people that aren't A+ all-stars, because there's only like five, if you do this bell curve, whenever somebody on the back half of your bell curve who gets in the cast, maybe as the 17th or 18th player kind of messes up, like, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So are there any particular red flags that you're looking for that, you know, anybody who's looking to get cast on the show that would signal to somebody like you, nah, that person might not last an entire 26 days or however long it's going to be. Or if they had the Lauren O'Connell situation in Edge of Extinction where she kept losing to the point where she's passing out. And if she had to go to Edge of Extinction where she was going to get no food, because Lauren O'Connell was very open that the merge fees pretty much saved her. And had she gone to Edge of Extinction, she doesn't know how much she would have eaten to the point of, would she have been able to even stay in the game? But she would have stayed there as long as she possibly could have.
I think
are there red flags on that? Yeah, go ahead.
Let's reframe this a little bit. I do feel like there's a difference between quitting 3 days in and something like that of,
yeah,
if you have given your all for 2 weeks and beat six other players, there's absolutely no shame in like, my body is shutting down and I'm gonna die. Like, I have to take a loss on this. Like,
but here's my question then.
What are we avoiding? Yeah.
How do you differentiate? Are there red flags that signal to you that this person doesn't have what Lauren O'Connell was coming into this game with? As saying, you know what, like if I do start to, I'll figure it out. If my body starts falling apart, I'll figure it out. To the point of like, Hannah didn't even get close to where Lauren was and was already out of the game.
And I think that just comes down to the idea of she was a Division I soccer player. Mm-hmm. And we do have footage of her playing games at a high level. She has made her body into a tool that has gotten her a scholarship and can compete. So that is someone who I do believe, wow, when your body gets pushed to the limit, you're going to be able to push it further because you do it every week on the soccer field. Mm-hmm. And that's a small thing where it's like, I think Carson, what's the difference between Carson and Brando of like, who's more likely to quit? I know I just picked two of those out of a thought process, but we were talking about them a little bit earlier. Carson versus Brando. Who's more likely to quit? Well, Carson went and put on 30 pounds of muscle. And I don't think any producers can legitimately ask him to do that. But they're not going to go, what? Oh, no, you're not on the show now. And I think Carson, for all the stuff that like, okay, well, that isn't my favorite that he does that. But like, that story was so inspiring of like, you already like me now. I'm going to make sure I have the best shot of winning the show. I'm not saying everyone needs to go put on 30 pounds of mass, but if you're about to go do 10 challenges against high level competitors from all around the US and Canada, and you haven't even walked into a gym, how are you that delusional of I can beat 10 other people with zero practice? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying join the local YMCA swimming team or go play Survivor on your own, but like I was playing Survivor for my birthday a couple times where we added drinking games. And the funniest thing I ever did was final three was put your hands in an ice bath and whoever loses goes home. And like, I couldn't put my hands in an ice bath for 45 seconds. It was so cold. It was such a pansy move of like, I look at Survivor and go, oh, I'd probably get like eighth place. Cause that's when I would finally annoy enough people where they're like, get this guy out of here. Not a threat physically, but they just are annoyed at that point. And it's like, everyone has that of, I would do this good on the show, but I can't even put my hands in water for 45 seconds. Like I would have to build up skills like that of, well, I did it a first time. It's 45. Now I did 50. Now, then 2 weeks later, I put my hands in for 3 minutes and I've been building up and like doing that for all of your phobias, doing for all of your weaknesses, doing that for all of your stuff. That's what Carson pretty much did. And now Carson's seen as this guy's one of the greatest Survivor players ever. And even though he's sick for like 4 days in the middle of the season, nobody gets rid of him. Oh, we love this guy too much. Brando, even though we're not really caring about challenge strength right now, I don't know, he's a string bean dude, but like it is something where he gets voted out. And like if Brando had put on 30 pounds of muscle, now he's Austin. Or it's a little bit more nuanced than that. But it is something where it's like, if you want to be the best candidate and these guys are snake bit from quitters, it is something where here's the times I persevered through the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah.
And I've come back from a knee surgery. I would tell people that knee surgery, I knew right then and there that this was like, I'm either going to get back and have a good life and start working out, or I'm going to be a slug on, or what is it? Frog on the log or whatever. Obviously pandemic kicked my ass. I'm back to being frog on a log from pandemic. But if I wanted to go on a show right now, I would have to spend 6 months of my life figuring out some things and making myself like, now I'm joining another kickball league. I like, now I'm MVP of my work setting. What is it called? Work dodgeball team. Like that's the kind of stuff where it's like, I'm not worried about throwing beanbags at blocks against Ozzy because I'm the number one shooter in my dodgeball league. Mm-hmm. Like when you have stuff that makes you like, I'm dead ass when it comes to that. And like, we make fun of Carson. I don't know if I could say I make fun of Carson for making all those puzzles, but do that in other parts of this and people won't see you as a quitter.
Yeah. 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 And I've played dodgeball with Blake and he's terrible. So don't let him make you think that he's the MVP of that at all. That's what I got from your whole speech. And what I know is going to make this a phenomenal series. So this is going to be happening twice a month. This will happen every other week. And there won't be video for all of our patron stuff. We didn't really preface this, but there isn't video on Patreon. It's all audio. So even though we're getting the video here, this is because it's on YouTube and it would be weird if you're just sitting here and listening to our voices talk. But what I know is going to make this a great series is we have now talked for 23 minutes. I asked Blake a question 7 minutes ago and he still didn't answer it. And that's going to make this a really good series because we're going to have endless amounts of topics to talk about. And every time I have a conversation with Blake, I'm going to think of something new. And for instance, like, I think a good one is for episode 2, probably this preparation thing that he was talking about with Carson and how you as a person can prep for the game of Survivor, just for anything, right? Like for any reality TV show you would go on. But I want the question answered before this podcast is over. What are the red flags that would signal to you as a casting person that this person isn't going to make it? Like what red flags could somebody, especially now that they're attuned to this, Hannah and Sean just quit. 46, already going. They had already cast that season before those people had even quit or they were close to it, whatever. But now in this new cycle and in cycles moving forward, it's going to be very much in people's heads. What is something that, you know, one word, two lines, one thing that somebody could do in a casting video that is going to be a massive red flag at this point that's probably not going to get them cast and viewed as a potential. The reason that they wouldn't get cast is they might not make it through this.
I think if we're going to stick to two words, it would be uncertainty and unbelievableness of like, if you are in your casting tape being like, well, I hope I can get it all going. As soon as you put any doubt in someone that has to fight for you and someone that has to believe in you more than you believe in yourself to get you past some execs, some people aren't worth believing in. Like, I honestly, the reason you don't know, half of these people are like, I've been applying for 20 years. Well, they were worse than the 20 years previously than them. Mm-hmm. Not to single anybody out. But when somebody goes, I applied 17 times, I'm not very excited to watch that person because I've been watching Survivor for the last 17 seasons. And some of those people, I was a little bit like, oh, these could be better. Shout outs to all those people who I'm offending without even realizing, but okay, like,
don't name drop them. You can offend whoever you want.
But like Sandra, I'm sure during her interview was like, I'm ex-military. I run a household. I can run anything you put in front of me and people are going to underestimate me because they're going to be like, what, who's this girl? And like, in the military, I've done this, this, and this. There's not a single time where someone's going to watch and like, I don't know if there's all these, go watch all these videos. What are they called? Casting tapes. I'm literally working this. Go watch their casting tapes on YouTube and find ones that are successful. And like, if you're not certain you can do it, the uncertainty or the unbelievableness needs to be the joke that you're in on.
Mm-hmm.
Of, I'm going to go kick everyone's ass. It needs to be believable because you're the ex-Navy SEAL. Now you're on the show because you're ex-Navy. But if you are, I'm going to go kick everyone's ass unless I get my ass kicked first. You may be the nerd that gets put on because you're going to get last place.
A great example of this, if you haven't watched Eric Reichenbach's video from back before season 16, somewhere in the middle of that video, he says, and you know what? If it all doesn't work out, I'm young. So that means I'm probably going to do something stupid. Right. And it is, you can hear Ron Howard's voice in the background going, he did. You can just imagine the Arrested Development type edit of that YouTube video or that casting tape and the narrator saying he did the stupidest thing in the history of the show. But Eric was in on it and he knew what he was getting into and he was an athlete and whatever. And he says, you know what? He is young. Let's put him on a cast with these people who he's going to idolize and he's going to think so highly of. And let's see if he does something stupid. And he did. He did the stupidest thing still to this day. I love Eric. Eric's been on our podcast a bunch. He does the Dabu Doodles, which are amazing. But he made the stupidest move in the history of the show because that's the time he went on the show. But there's a big difference between making a stupid move that's good for TV and saying, I don't want to be here. I never wanted to be here. And you should respect my decision. I'm going to be honest. When it comes to quitters, I don't respect your decision. And I don't think I need to. And I think the whole community as a whole doesn't want to respect the decision. And you know, that's why I'm glad I'm doing this series with you now, because it is a massive frustration. You know, when Hannah quit, I know there was a lot of comments on like Twitter and different forms of social media that were like, to all those men who are complaining that Hannah quit, I'm sure she took your spot. But that's not the point. The point is, how is anybody who is going to quit getting through? You know, and that's what the frustration is. I'm not going to respect a quitter. I've never respected a quitter any day of my life in anything that they've ever done. That doesn't just apply to Survivor. I mean, I feel like if I was on a soccer team as a kid and somebody quit the team 3 weeks into the season, I probably didn't hang out with that person anymore because that's just been my personality my whole life.
Right. Somebody quit my Catholic fraternity in college and was one of my best friends. And he was like, I don't know about this. And after he quit the thing, I never talked to him again because it's like, we're joining this literally fraternity, but like, we're joining this group of Survivor 45. There's 18 people that can say this, but now there's 2.5 of them that didn't do the minutia and the dress rehearsal or whatever it's called, the bones, ins and outs of this, where I'm not saying exclude Hannah from the reunion, but they've done that in the past.
Yeah. And maybe they should, but they're not doing the reunion anyway. So that's what the problem is. But at the end of the day, it comes down to if you're not sure, don't apply. If you're not sure, because there are other ways, and Blake mentioned it on here. There are plenty of other shows that are air conditioned that maybe aren't even game related, that if you want to be a reality TV star in some way, you can be. And who knows? I mean, watching House of Villains and seeing Bobby Lights on that and seeing, oh, he was on Love and Hip Hop. I don't know what the hell Love and Hip Hop is, but I know it's not a game show. I know it's not like a competition show. So when he comes and he's on House of Villains, it's a totally different thing. But Bobby Lights gets it. Bobby Lights knows what he's signing up for that time. There are other ways. And yeah, I mean, quitters are always, there's always going to be one who slips by. There's going to be something that happens every now and then. But I think what shook people was that this was the first episode. And, you know, it's talked about to death. The whole point of this podcast wasn't to sit here and rehash Hannah's decision to quit and Sean's decision to quit. But the point is, if you're a giant Survivor fan, and we have people who have listened to this podcast for the last 10 years, and that makes me sad because I've been doing it for 10 years, but who have listened to this podcast for the last 10 years and have applied for Survivor every single year. And I've met some of them, and I think they're really good personalities, and they feel like they've put in good videos, they've put in the work, they've done all that, and they see somebody get cast, two people get cast in the same season, and quit within the first 6-7 days of the show. It pisses them off, and right. And rightfully so. And so that's what the point of this is how is that happening? And I think you answered it, but go ahead. What do you want to say there?
I think something that could eternally mess with you, and it's just, this is how casting is. If somebody saw your first video 7 years ago and they're like, there's no point in watching Blake's video. It was so discombobulated. It wasn't great. We don't need fat white dudes that think highly of themselves. There's maybe a black X next to my name in Survivor casting that is not going to go away anytime soon unless there's overhaul, unless there's like, oh, you completely change and maybe you got a different producer because they switched producers or something. Or that's why all these stories of like, oh, I was originally going to be on Big Brother, but then I got switched to Survivor at the last minute. Like, that's how sometimes this stuff works of, I was gonna apply for Survivor, but it's never gonna work out for me. Let me go try another show. And is there some solace of, I only want to be on Survivor? Or do you want an adventure that you've been excited about? Mm-hmm. And maybe being a little bit more honest with yourself, because I know two or three people on season 45 that were probably like, it's Survivor or nothing. Mm-hmm. And when they got Survivor, they got slapped by Survivor. Mm-hmm. And so maybe it's something of, don't go on this show because you want a platform. Don't go on this show because you're trying to get followers or something. Go on this show because you truly think you can win. And because what would a season with 18 contestants where everyone truly thinks they can win? That would be amazing. We haven't seen a season like that since maybe everyone on Winners at War thought they could win. I don't know. But I think we may see a trend where we go away from everyone is their archetype and then also add nerd on the end of Austin is a nerd at heart. Drew is a nerd. Someone like JD from 41 is a nerd. Nerd, 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 nerd. Mm-hmm. And it may just be like, return to the Mactor. There was a full on 10 seasons in a row of Mactors, of model actors, of there's nothing behind their brains all, but they're not getting stuck on a challenge that's built for three people to do. And they're also not quitting in episode two or three.
Yeah. And it would be nothing behind their skull, right? Or nothing behind their eyes, because their brain is what you were referring to. But you said there's nothing behind their
brain. There's literally a hole where you
No, I just got to mess with you on that. But no, I think this is a good conversation. I'm going to cut it there because, you know, I know you could talk hours and hours and hours about this stuff. And that's why we're going to be, as I said,
talking
twice a month, every other week. Blake and I will be sitting down doing this discussion. We'll be putting them out. $10 patrons. And obviously, if you're a $20 patron, you get anything that's below the $20 tier. So you're getting everything for $10 and $5. So Yeah, Blake will be doing this twice a month, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I think that if you, you know, this isn't something that's sitting, we're sitting here saying, oh my God, you're going to get on Survivor. That's not the point of this. Like, that's not the point of this. So don't sign up for Patreon and say, oh, well, I'm going to do it so I can listen to Blake's casting things, and that's how I'm going to get cast. No, that's not what the point of this
is. That's going to happen to one person.
Probably. It is going to happen to one person. I mean, let's be real. But also, like, the point of this is just to give kind of insight into the process that so many people don't know. And this isn't the official, oh my God, this is what's going on in the Survivor world. It's just a matter of, this is why things like this can happen. This is why quitters can slip by and thing. And this is how certain players get cast on the show. So hope you enjoyed this. Next episode will be coming out in 2 weeks. So hopefully that's worth your while. If you're watching this on YouTube, think about becoming a patron, patreon.com/thespecialists. We dropped Survivor out of that, which is The Specialist, since we're now The Specialist. So check that out over there and see what else you like. There's plenty of stuff at the $10 tier, and then the $20 tier, Blake is also a part of that, with Will and I doing Every Season Matters. And we did a whole bunch of Borneo coverage for the month of January. So that is what's out, and we're going to be going season by season there. So think about that. And thank you all so much for watching. Hope you're enjoying it. And we will see you again in 2 weeks, to those of you who decide that listening to Blake is worth your time and effort and money.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shaped the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.